Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock. You're on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. The Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Adam Hickman.
Number 1, the baseball Vols look to bounce back tomorrow as they take on Tennessee Tech. That game will have the first pitch thrown at 6:30 on the SEC Network Plus.
It's at Lindsey Nelson, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to... It was weird having to go to Western Carolina last week. Playing at home in the friendly confines, certainly can't overlook the Golden Eagles, Tennessee Tech. But get that one and get ready for Texas A&M. Just another chance to prove yourself this weekend for Tony Vitello's squad.
Number 2, Alex Smith announced today via Instagram that he will be retiring. Smith spent 16 years in the league and made 3 Pro Bowl games. I remember he had some really good success with the Chiefs before the Patrick Mahomes era. Obviously won comeback player of the year after that terrible, terrible leg injury.
What will you remember, 2 or 3 things, games, whatever, about Alex Smith?
Number 1 has to be that he was the guy before Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
2, the leg injury. And 3, I can faintly remember him having some good games his last year at with the 49ers.
See, for me, and maybe it's just because I watched that ESPN E60 documentary on his leg injury, that will be the thing I remember about him.
That one picture in particular.
Yeah, and I don't even remember really the play. I can't conjure it in my mind, but the aftermath of it and the fact that he came back from that is incredible. Yeah, I mean, he was – it kind of shocked me when you said 16 years, but I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean, he had a nice – long NFL career, and he's the guy that kind of helped launch Urban Meyer. And I think Meyer would have been a great coach anyway, but he had him at Utah and used that as a springboard to get the Florida job, and the rest is history.
Would you also say that he kind of helped reinvent Andy Reid?
Yeah, helped Andy Reid hang on until Mahomes fell into his lap, is the way I would put it.
Andy Reid's already trying to get him to join his coaching staff, it looks like, kind of.
Oh, really? Yeah, maybe a replacement for Bienemy whenever he finally gets his head coaching job.
Number 3 today, local punter Daniel Bethel, who is from Anderson County, had originally signed to play for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. He decommitted over the weekend and announced that he'll be signing with the hometown Vols.
Yeah, I saw that as a preferred walk-on, so it's not a scholarship, but got to have punting options back there. I don't think anybody is just absolutely set in stone with Paxton Brooks as the guy. I mean, we used to be punter you, man. We've struggled. We need to get another solid East Tennessee boy who can bang out those long punts on a consistent basis.
Hopefully in the Heupel era, we won't be needing punters.
That's a good point. You still have to press the kicking game because a wise man once said, "For here is where the breaks are made." Adam, I don't know if you're aware of that, but hopefully the punter is somebody that we see less and less of moving forward.
Number 4, I want you to kind of break this down for me. I briefly read about it. So the UEFA says players in the new Soccer European Super League will be banned from playing in the World Cup.
Yeah, so that was FIFA. They control the World Cup. UEFA controls Champions League, which is the big one now. And so, I don't know, man. It's all a huge money grab. And it's sad because here's the way – I know a lot of people have heard about this and don't care to read it, but think about it from this perspective. What if Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State decided, you know what? We're tired of playing against Purdue and Vandy and Boston College and these teams. We're going to create a conference of 10 teams, a dozen teams, and we're just going to play each other, and we're going to keep that money. And maybe if you're – maybe we'll play you. Maybe Alabama will play Tennessee if we feel like it. Maybe not. But basically, we're going to play each other and redo our TV deal, and we're going to sell our stadium every week, and we're going to make more money than you can even dream of, creating an even bigger gulf between the haves and the have-nots, a gulf that's practically insurmountable. That's basically what they're doing over there, and it's a shame because it's the same thing that we see over here with these athletics directors and these coaches and these people that are doing their damnedest to ruin college football and college basketball. It's never enough for them. It's never enough. They can't. They're not satisfied making $1 million a year. It's got to be. We got to pay Josh Heupel $4 million a year. We got to give Jeremy Pruitt a raise and an extension, $4 million a year. Why? Because it's never enough for these people, and it's never going to be enough, man. And you'll see something like this happen here. It's been talked about for a long time. What's going on over Europe has been talked about there for a long, long time. And in many ways, it's probably inevitable. And I just wonder, you are seeing the real-time dissolution of the NCAA. It's happening. It's a slow-moving coup. It's a slow-moving train wreck, whatever you want to call it. It's happening right before our eyes right now. The NCAA is... It's eating itself. It's losing its own power. It can't control college sport anymore. And it's going to be gone soon. We might be the last team to get slammed by the NCAA in terms of NCAA probation. But I know this is a longer explanation than you wanted, Adam. But I've got thoughts. It's going to be really interesting to see what becomes of college football moving forward here in the next 10, 20 years. And we can circle back to this, but a question to ponder for the audience. Would UT even qualify for a college football Super League? Would we even be in the conversation?
Now, no.
Let's circle back to that.
And number five, so four people in the Philippines were arrested over the weekend after they were accused of illegally hauling giant fossilized clamshells.
What?
Apparently these things are really expensive. So the Coast Guard seized more than 200 tons of fossilized clamshells worth nearly $25 million.
I don't understand what we're talking about here. You can go and get clamshells at the beach, right? And you can take – you're not supposed to, but we all do it, right? You go to the beach, you take a couple of seashells with you. Is that something that's obviously illegal there? Are these just normal people, or were these like businessmen trying to create a little black market for these seashells?
These are no normal shells. Seashells, clam shells, whatever. They're about the size of a trash can lid.
Wow.
I mean, they're ginormous.
Wow. And people buy those, huh?
$25 million worth. That is a lot of seashells.
Can you do the she sells seashells down by the seashore?
Sally sells she sells. Sally?
No, just say no.
No.
All right, I'll give you one more try. I can tell you really think you can do this. One more try. You take your time. Take your time.
Sally sells seashells down by the seashore.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Thank you, Adam Hickman, ladies and gentlemen. With the top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Have you been to the dentist yet this year? Did you go last year? Has it been a while? Well, folks, stop putting this off. Your dental health is very important. If you don't address it, serious problems can occur. And then you're kicking the can down the road. All of a sudden, I don't want to go. So all of a sudden, it's been a couple of years. And now all of a sudden, you've got something that the dentist has to get in there. He might have to pull teeth. He might have to perform some sort of minor surgery or something like that. It can get expensive. Preventative maintenance is the key. Routine dental cleanings. It's what I get at Knoxville Smiles. It's what you should get, too. Dr. Stephen Malone's been practicing dentistry for a quarter century in Knoxville now. He's been here a long time, built up a great family practice in West Knoxville on South Peters Road. Knoxville Smiles. Check them out. Schedule your dental visit today online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or just call them at 865-539-1776. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. KnoxvilleSmiles.com, 865-539-1776. So, yeah, would Tennessee even qualify for a Super League? I was thinking about that before we came on the show. Now, last year, let me get the date on this article. I'm reading from 247sports.com. So this is January 23rd, 2020. So this is before we knew COVID was going to be a huge thing. But I'm guessing the top 15 schools in terms of overall football revenue and value are still roughly the same. The Wall Street Journal actually compiled these numbers. They looked deep into college football's most valuable programs from top to bottom and determined the nation's most lucrative brands. Okay. So, and that's what we're talking about here right now, right? The English teams that are going into the European Super League are not necessarily the four best. As a matter of fact, I was just reading four of the teams that you're talking about, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Tottenham, are not even in the top four of the Premier League right now, which is what you have to be in to qualify for Champions League and get all the money and play all the games. Anyway, we're talking about value here. Who's going to watch these teams on television all around the world? That's what they're trying to figure out, and that's what the Wall Street Journal figured out, and they calculate what a college team would be worth on the open market if it could be bought and sold like a professional sports franchise. They found this out by analyzing each program's revenues and expenses along with cash flow adjustments, risk assessment, and growth projections. I don't know what all that means. You don't know either. We don't care. But ultimately, it ends up a big number. If you wanted to buy the Vols, not the University of Tennessee, you wanted to buy UT Athletics, UT's football program, how much would it cost? And so, for instance, the 15th most valuable team in the country was Nebraska. And they value, the Wall Street Journal valued them at $471.6 million. Okay? So Nebraska's 15th. Wisconsin would be 14th. Penn State, 13th. Texas A&M, 12th. Florida, 11th. Tennessee, 10th. The Power T's brand remains incredibly strong despite a decade plus of, to put it lightly, national irrelevance compared to some of the SEC's other storied programs, the journal writes. Tennessee continues to sell itself at nearly $728 million, the fifth highest figure in the SEC behind only Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, and LSU. Tennessee's valuation in 2018 actually dipped slightly from $745 million. In 2017, and the Vols dropped one spot in the rankings. Study listed Tennessee's 2018 revenue at $113 million, 11th highest in the nation. I mean, think about that.
We've been so bad for so long that even the people that enjoyed watching us suck are getting to the point where they're like, you know, I kind of wish UT would be good again.
But think about that. Think about how bad we've been. And we used to be at the top of this list back in the day. I mean, it was Tennessee and Alabama. Georgia, Auburn, and LSU weren't near Tennessee in terms of revenue versus expenses and value. So LSU was 9th, Auburn 8th, Oklahoma 7th, Georgia 6th, Notre Dame 5th, Michigan 4th, at, valued at $924.6 million. Alabama 3rd, valued at $1.01 billion. Ohio State and Texas, $1.1 billion, the most valuable college football brand in the world. So that was written by the Wall Street Journal the beginning of last year, before COVID hit. And obviously, those numbers are all different now. But still, would Tennessee be in a college football super league? According to that metric, yeah, probably. But as we've seen here, when you're talking about wins on the field and quality, it's not necessarily about the money, because Tennessee's had the money. I mean, good grief, we've paid millions in buyouts to coaches in all these different sports. And the facilities are still pretty good. We have fallen behind. Neyland Stadium is looking pretty decrepit on the south side. If you walk up under there and take a look at the peeling paint, the old brickwork, some of the stuff that needs to be done over there. Thompson Bowling's pretty up to date. Practice center is really nice. Lindsey Nelson needs a big redo, as we have discussed a lot here lately on the show. And that is going to be the challenge for Danny White, is to balance these things. How much between investing in people, investing in my facilities, with the stretched finances, to put it mildly, that he encounters coming into a post-COVID world at the University of Tennessee. And that's why a big reason why they announced this shareholder society, is because they're going to try and really step up the if you've ever given a dime to the University of Tennessee and you haven't gotten a call in the past couple of months, expect one soon, because you will be getting one. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show, 546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, what a weekend it was. Got to go to the game Saturday at Lindsey Nelson, the thriller in Lindsey Nelson. Where were you when Evan Russell launched his third home run of the day, a grand salami, etching his name into Tennessee baseball lore? I was there, ladies and gentlemen. I was there. What a moment. What a moment. And even though the weekend did not end like Tennessee fans wanted it to, it still feels like we are all witnessing the rebirth of something special here in Knoxville this year. Had conversations with Trey Wallace in hour number one, Rusty Enzer in hour number two, where we talked about the weekend series extensively. And disappointing to drop 2 of 3 against Vanderbilt, but just the tone of the conversation is so hopeful and exciting. And the phone calls that we have taken today about Tennessee baseball have been, even TJ the Kentucky fan had to took his hat off and said, dang, like Tennessee has really got it rolling in baseball. So they might have lost the series, but Tennessee by no means failed the test against a really good Vandy squad. And it'll be interesting to see where they go from here, with a big game tomorrow against Tennessee Tech and then a huge weekend series in College Station against a Texas A&M squad that very well may try to hire Tony Vitello at the end of the year, because they have not been doing well. So many subplots to this season. So much going on between the actual season, the actual games themselves, and then the drama surrounding what does Tennessee have to do to keep Tony Vitello, and what are they going to do with their baseball stadium, almost as interesting as the games themselves, in my opinion. 865-546-8200. Let's grab a call from Andy. Good afternoon, Andy. You're on the drive.
Hey, boy. What are we doing today?
Hey, Andy. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. You know, I was jazzed. I was hyped for Friday night. And I got to say, man, if Kumar Rocker does not go into a level that we have not seen yet from Kumar Rocker, I think we might win that game Friday night. I mean, Sunday just is what it was. But I think Friday night, if Rocker doesn't have the performance that he had, then Tennessee might beat both their aces. And Saturday, I mean, and I'm a huge football fan, but that's top five for in-person experiences I've had at sporting events just in my life, you know. And I'm about to turn 35, so, you know, that's just is what it is, man. That was so much fun. And did I hear correctly, you were there, right?
I was there, man. I'm right there with you, man. It was – I mean, it was just it was a great day at the ballpark, man. I mean, everything was everything just went about perfectly. Even the errors that led to the 3-run homer. When you look back on it, and I know Jake Rucker probably feels terrible about the errors, but even when you look back on it, Andy, it only served to make it sweeter and set up the drama of the grand slam. I mean, it was really a perfect afternoon for Tennessee baseball.
Absolutely. And I mean, Fulkerson, right down to John Fulkerson throwing out the first pitch, right? And then he comes up and he's in the stands with the Legends of Lindsay. I mean, just awesome. And I mean, he's in the thick of it. I mean, I think he disappeared to go take some more pictures with people because, you know, he's a star in that stadium especially. And he was there, though. He was standing beside the guy where they drank the beer out of his mullet. Have you seen that? Have you seen that clip? He was right beside that guy.
Yeah, I can really empathize with Folky because, you know, it was kind of the same thing for me, you know, being a big local radio star. It had people, lots of women lined up trying to get pictures and stuff. It was actually kind of distracting, Andy, if I'm being honest. But I guess that's – actually, no, it was completely different. But, yeah, it was Folky's just a man of the people, man. He loves Tennessee, and Tennessee loves him right back. It was cool to see, for sure.
Well, I was even right down to after the game. We were leaving the garage, and here he come walking through the garage. So I got to give him knuckles and say thanks for coming back. And you know, I mean, it was just I'm telling you, man. The Tennessee, it's a you know, Knoxville's a blue collar town, and when you get a group of guys like this. I mean, it has a very, like, 85, 86 Sugar Vol feel to it, you know, where it's a group of guys that are just blue-collar, and they're going to go out there, and they're going to fight, you know, and that's our soul. That's our hearts here, you know, and that they represent us exactly. You know, those are the guys we want. We've seen in football and other sports, you know, we see these five stars come in and do nothing, but, you know, some of them pan out here and there. But, you know, bottom line is we want guys, we want the Dane Bradshaws of the world. We want guys that are going to come in here and we're going to get 1,000%. You know, they'd rather die on the court than give less than everything they have. You know, and that's just, that's what this team feels like.
And we were talking.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. Adam and I were talking about some of the recruits that Vitello's got coming in, and we're talking about the kid from Gallatin and kid from Georgia and the kid from up in Brooklyn. But you also look at that list, there's a lot of dudes from Knoxville, right? There's a kid from CAK, a kid from Bearden. I was reading the news settle. There's a kid who's committed to us who is a freshman at Farragut High School. Yes, he's a freshman. He's like 14. He's committed. And but Vitello's doing work, right? Those are the kids that you'll love, man, is Todd Hilton's of the world, the kids that played here locally, Chris Freeman. Guys like that that show up, and they'll have a special connection with the fans for sure. Let's grab Darren next on the drive. Good afternoon, Darren. You're on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, Russell, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, man, what's up?
Hey, have you actually heard something, some kind of rumors out there about this Texas A&M job and stuff, or is that just your paranoid ball stuff going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Texas A&M people are about – because that guy at Texas A&M, and I don't know his name off the top of my head, but he's been there forever. They've been to the College World Series. He's won a lot down there, but he's gotten – I don't know if he's gotten complaint. I don't know what their deal is, but he's in the last year of his contract, and they're like 3-15 in the league or something right now. I mean, they're not very good.
Yeah.
And so –
So is Vitello – I mean, Vitello to A&M, is that a thing? Or is that just like, you know, again, Is that just us being us? You know,
maybe
you think that
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's probably a little paranoia, but think about it. If you're Texas A&M or you're LSU, if you end up having a coaching opening, why wouldn't you talk to Tony Vitello? I'm sure there are other people out there that they would talk to too. But if you're doing any sort of competent coaching search, he's going to be on the short list of any of those big schools.
Yeah, you're right, man. He's hot. You know, they've got to do something there. I think they'll get something done for him. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how quickly they can make it happen, but I don't know if it's just promises right now or what. But I mean, surely to goodness,
I do
can't
too.
Let that guy go. If you're Danny White, I mean, that would be a huge loss for him, especially when we know what we're facing in football for the next, you know, couple 3 years. I mean, you know,
I don't think it's going to be difficult to give him a raise. I don't think it's going to be difficult to bump up the pay for some of his staff and his assistants. I think that stuff is relatively easy for Danny White to do. The hard thing is going to be securing the kind of money that it's going to take to make that stadium, to get it on par with some of these other big-time schools, particularly in the SEC West. And I'm sure they'll promise him the moon. And it's going to come down to whether or not he believes that it can actually be done and that they'll actually follow through on it. Because I think the salary stuff is – I think that's easy. I think that's a slam dunk, Darren. But the facility stuff, is that's a little more complicated in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. 100%, man. It's a tough time. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, you know, I mean, to somebody like me, that's, you know, 10 lifetimes worth of money. But and to those guys over there, it's not that big of a deal. They can do it. Just shift it around, man, moving around, you know. Either way, they got to get it done. But it's been fun watching those guys, man. I like you guys' show. Thanks.
No doubt. Thank you. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. More of your calls coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. TK is next. What's up, TK?
Hey, what's up, Russell?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Not bad. I hate to say it, but I called what was going to happen Friday, didn't I?
Man, I've slept since then, TK. What did you? Were you calling for Vanderbilt to win the series?
No, I told you as soon as the football program had anything to do with it, they'd lose.
So you're blaming Friday night on Heupel?
Oh, without a doubt.
And then Barnes's boy shows up Saturday and we win. Was there any football connection to yesterday?
I don't know. I turned that one off pretty early, to be honest with you.
The thing about those college games, and I know a lot of people threw their hands up pretty early, those things can get wild, man. You'll see some 12 to 10 games and stuff like that. So I stuck it out until maybe the seventh inning or so. But yeah, it just wasn't our day yesterday, that's for sure.
So what do you agree with that list that came out of the top 15 if they did make another league?
I haven't really thought about it deeply as far as all the teams, but I mean the top five teams would certainly be in there, top seven or eight, but I mean when you get down to us, Florida, you got to think's in there, A&M is, you know, just Texas A&M, Penn State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, are those teams going to be in the Super League?
Well, I know why Nebraska is on there is because if you talk to anybody from there, that college football program is all they have down there. They have nothing else.
Well, keep in mind, too, it's when we're talking about the creation of a Super League, whether it's in European soccer or American college football, whatever, it's not about wins or style or tradition, or it's about value. It's about how many people are going to watch your games on television, right? And if we take Nebraska and put them on against Tennessee, is that going to draw as big an audience as, say, Florida playing Auburn? And the answer is probably yes. It'd probably be very similar. A lot of people, a lot of fans of both schools all over the country are going to watch that. And a lot of people, casual fans, are just going to tune in. So it's just weird, man. I hope we don't get to that point. I mean, I love the SEC, but it's never enough for these people, TK. And if they figure out, if some eggheads get in a room and say, well, I know that making $50 million a year from ESPN is nice, but we could make $90 million, then they're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get political, but I don't know if you saw where the NCAA is already saying Tennessee may never host anything big with them if they pass the laws where boys can't play girls' sports and vice versa.
Okay. Well, I mean, you would say the same thing about Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Arkansas, Florida, any other southern state where the government leans a little bit more conservative, they'll just break off and play by themselves. And guess what? Nobody else will watch your games because all the good teams are down here. So to me, that just seems like a bunch of posturing. I would hope that governments and organizations like the NCAA would have better things to do with their time, quite frankly.
Yeah, which that was my point. I mean, I don't see why we haven't broke away from them already, to be honest with you.
From the NCAA?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it feels like they're kind of breaking away without breaking away. They're just getting everything they want. You can transfer now. You can pay kids now. They can do endorsements now. And the NCAA is not punishing anybody that breaks the rules. So, really, all they're there for is to put on their basketball tournament and divvy up the checks from that. Other than that, what does the NCAA do anymore?
Act like they're going to punish teams and then never do it. Or if they do, 10 years later down the road after it's too late.
Occasionally punish a Missouri every now and then, a Prairie View A&M will get the book thrown at them occasionally, something like that. But it doesn't seem like they wield nearly as much power as they did even 10, 15 years ago.
Well, no, because like you said, they know that if you mess with the big schools enough, they have enough power now that where they could just leave you and still come off successful.
Mm. Yeah. And, hey, man, that's what's happening over there in Europe is these teams say, yeah, we're making a lot of money, but we're also producing a lot of money. And really some of the smaller teams are kind of earning based off what we give them, but really we want it all. We just want a little more. It's greed, it's shameless, but hey man, that's when you combine capitalism and sports, two very competitive things, it grows exponentially, man. And if there's a dollar to be made, they are going to make it.
Especially college basketball, the way that thing's headed right now, it's pretty much NBA free agency at this point anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, man, this transfer thing is going to – it's going to change not only the way we look at the sport of football, college basketball, but the way we cover recruiting, which is such a college town industry. You know, we have all these – websites and everything that do nothing but write about recruiting and everything. All that's getting set to change, man. Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, you know, basketball, talk about Syracuse, Kansas, Duke. They're not going to recruit high school players anymore. The top 100 players or so in the country are going to get recruited. And then you're just going to recruit smaller schools and other colleges. Colleges where guys can't get on the field or – if you're the OVC player of the year at Murray State, like Ja Morant is, or, you know, you'll play your first year there, you'll ball out, and then you'll go play at Kentucky. You'll go play at Tennessee or Vanderbilt or wherever you want to go. And that's where those schoolers are going to recruit from anymore. And the three-star kid, like, even a school like Tennessee, probably not going to waste a lot of time recruiting him. We'll let him go to Memphis or UTC or Western Kentucky and prove himself there. And if he's good enough there, then we'll recruit him from that college. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be weird.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It sucks for the small schools, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all a business now. You got to do what you got to do.
It does. I mean, they will, but again, they'll be able to recruit players that out of high school that they hadn't been able to recruit previously. They're just going to lose them if they turn out to be any good.
I mean,
it's a double-edged
sword. I don't know the number now, but I told you last week there's like 2,000 kids in the portal. Is there even enough teams for all of them to even go anywhere?
No, there's not. There are going to be a lot of guys without a chair to sit in when the music ends, this cakewalk, and their careers are going to be over. It's going to be sad, but I think that there's going to be there will be a market correction. Like, people will figure that out here in a couple of years, and I think more people will stay in, but they'll stay in until they get – instead of – right now you're seeing a bunch of guys just jump in the portal. I can go anywhere. I'm going to get in the portal. And then they find out maybe you can't go anywhere, and you either go back to where you were, or you go down, you find a place that's not quite what you thought it would be. Right? So I think in the future you're going to see – you know, player goes to Memphis, wide receiver, and he shows out his freshman year a little bit, and Tennessee decides, oh man, maybe he can play here. We looked at his film in high school, and we didn't really know if he had what it took, but he's obviously showed that he can play in the American Athletic Conference. So what you do is, because it's, you know, quote unquote tampering, you get a guy on your staff, when you're quality control guys, to call the kid's high school coach, you know, where he went, and say, hey, you know, we really like what so-and-so did at Memphis this year. Why don't you reach out to him, see if he'd be interested in playing at Tennessee? Then all of a sudden, if the kid is, then he jumps in the portal, then Tennessee, and it looks legit. It's really not, but that's how that's going to play out.
You think I'm kind of surprised they haven't done already. You think the football is ever going to go to a G League system if kids get tired of college?
I mean – I think that's what college is shaping up to be. Is just a farm system. I don't know. There's always somebody out there trying to come up with some football league that'll play in the spring or something that's an alternative to the NFL or an alternative to college or whatever. But it doesn't seem like any of that's catching on. It's such a hard sport. There's so much money to put it on to get a stadium and get pads for everybody and hire a coaching staff and play games, that if people don't watch it, those leagues tend to fold very quickly.
Yeah, the football's the one sport out there to where a high school kid can't just jump into the pro like basketball, baseball, etc.
Usually not. Usually you need a couple of years in the weight room and to grow and develop physically, for sure.
But that's all I got. You have a good rest of the evening.
Thank you, TK. Great to hear from you. Portion of our show this afternoon brought to you by the fine folks at FanDuel. And as we wind out NBA season, a lot of folks looking ahead towards the playoffs, a lot of folks looking to betting on the playoffs. Well, you can bet on basketball right now. One of the things I love about betting on hoops is you're always finding new player props over at FanDuel, and you can combine those props on what we like to call the old same game parlay bet. Same game parlays only on FanDuel. So many market options they've got there: point totals, rebounds, assists, etc. Big over under guy, the point spread, always fun. You can use it to root for your favorite players and do college guys. You know, you can find Tobias or Josh Richardson, guys like that, and extra way to follow them, you know. It's a chance to put a small bet down and end up winning big. The odds are high, which always results in great payouts with same-game parlays. Bet on the money line, the point spread, first basket score. Who's going to score 10 points, 15, 20, rebounds, assists, three-pointers. It's all for you at FanDuel. And don't forget, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 back. Just place a bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right. every single day. That's why I bet on FanDuel. The app is super easy to use. The withdrawals are always fast. Odds boosts and special promotions always on point at FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same-game parlay. Use promo code DRIVE1 at sign-up. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, Hickman. We're going to take a quick break right here. When we come back, I want your full and complete review of the 1990s baseball classic Major League starring Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen, and Wesley Snipes. It's going to be fantastic. You better have liked it. You better have liked it, or we might have to find a new
Hickman. Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up Monday afternoon edition of the show. Final segment brought to you by Logo Solutions. Does your business or organization need great products to help promote your brand, services, or message? Logo Solutions, it's your one-stop shop right here in Big Orange Country, specializing in over 1 million customizable products, including apparel, headwear, promotional products, signs, banners, business cards, more. They've got it all at Logo Solutions. If you've got a logo, they've got a solution. Start shopping today at logosolutionsinc.com or call RB at 865-966-3434 for your free consultation and quote. Logo Solutions, right product, right price, right on time. All right, Hickman, you did your research. Major League, what are your thoughts?
All right, so first thing I want to say, it obviously is a cheesy movie, but it wasn't cringy. So I really appreciated that aspect of it. And it was funny without being over-the-top funny. There were a lot of good one-liners in the movie.
Very quotable.
I did struggle to kind of like keep up with, so who's the main character? Is it Wild Thing or is it Jake Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, that it's a team sport. There's no I in team, Hickman.
But I will say that I walked away after watching that movie.